Retailers are worried that possible state shutdowns might put them out of business for good. Connecticut Governor Ned Lamont says don't worry. He has no plans of increasing coronavirus restrictions so long as retailers do their part.
Making sure that people keep the distance, making sure people keep the mask, making sure you got the markers as you wait at the cashiers, doing pickup sometimes wherever that's necessary. And I do strongly believe that we'll be able to keep retail going even as the infection rate potentially goes up.
Lamont says the state is more prepared this time, and there's grants. The state is taking applications for a program that gives $5,000 to businesses with less than 20 employees. Lamont also says that the state will not be raising taxes. If federal aid does not come, he'll resort to the state's rainy day fund. This is C19, WSHU's daily news update from the Connecticut and New York region. Coming up, where Connecticut can keep things at negative 70 degrees, PSEG Long Island's failed storm response could cost them, and public housing segregation. I'm Charles Lane. Ten Connecticut hospitals have the cold storage facilities required to handle Pfizer's COVID-19 vaccine when it becomes available. That vaccine has to be stored at minus 70 degrees Celsius, as WSHU's Ebong Udama reports.
Kathy Kudish manages immunization for the State Department of Public Health. She says a survey finds that the 10 hospitals are part of healthcare networks that have the ability to move the vaccine amongst their sites and manage the process to vaccinate their staff.
Planning is underway with all of the hospitals to work through access and capacity.
Kudish spoke during a meeting of Governor Ned Lamont's vaccine advisory group. Distribution of the Pfizer vaccine is expected to begin after FDA fast-tracks the approval next month. Connecticut anticipates it will initially get about 200,000 doses. Frontline healthcare workers would be the first to be vaccinated. Another COVID-19 vaccine by Moderna is also pending FDA approval. That vaccine does not require such extreme cold storage. Both vaccines have to be administered in two doses. Ebong Udama, WSHU News.
Tropical storm Isaias caused more than 600,000 power outages on Long Island in August. Now, New York investigators suggest that PSEG Long Island could lose its contract over the failed storm response. WSHU's Desiree DiOrio reports.
The New York Department of Public Service recommends the Long Island Power Authority not renew its contract with PSEG Long Island when it expires in 2025. The state also recommends LIPA sue PSEG Long Island for the storm-related failures. The report identified many of the same problems as the LIPA investigation released this week. PSEG Long Island knew before the August 4th storm that its outage management system was not working properly. The state report says public statements about when power would be restored were questionable and misleading. LIPA CEO Thomas Falcone said earlier this week that LIPA will either renegotiate its contract with PSEG Long Island or terminate it. A PSEG Long Island spokesperson told Newsday the company is carefully reviewing the report and understands that real action is needed. Desiree DiOrio, WSHU News.
Coming up, a lawsuit against segregation in public housing. But first, these headlines. The 7-day positive COVID-19 test rate in Connecticut increased to 5.9%, according to data released by the state. 145 cities and towns in Connecticut are now at red alert. The state is asking residents to postpone indoor events and restrict activity outside of their homes. On Long Island, the 7-day positive test rate holds steady at 3.2%, which is higher than the rest of the state. New York Governor Andrew Cuomo says he will continue to leave it up to local health departments on whether to shut down schools or not. New York City Mayor Bill de Blasio closed all city schools on Thursday. Long Island officials condemned the move, saying children are safest in the classroom. A Suffolk County judge says the 911 tapes from the day that Shannon Gilbert went missing near Gilgo Beach 10 years ago will not be made public. Gilbert's disappearance led to the discovery of 11 sets of human remains along Ocean Parkway, including Gilbert's body. A lawyer for Gilbert's family has called the tapes shocking and inconsistent with police descriptions. But the judge says publicly releasing the tapes could harm ongoing homicide investigations. New York's highest court will hear the town of Smithtown's request to keep in place laws that eliminate bow hunting in most of the town. A deer hunting group sued the town for its ordinance that banned guns and bows from being used within 500 feet of occupied buildings, parks, and beaches. That's more restrictive than state law that allows bows to be used within 150 feet. In August, a mid-level court ruled that the less restrictive state law preempted town law. A group of former residents from Hartford, Connecticut, has sued the U.S. Department of Housing and Urban Development, claiming that HUD failed to reduce segregation when giving them options for new housing. Ali Oshinsky has more.
This story starts with three apartment complexes in Hartford. They were home to a group of Black and Hispanic women who found their living conditions unacceptable.
Black mold, almost every family we talked to had at least one kid with asthma, which can be triggered by high levels of mold.
That's Erin Boggs. She's the executive director of the Open Communities Alliance, one of the groups working on this lawsuit.
One of our clients discussed how she had witnessed outside of her building with her son a sort of execution-style shooting.
Boggs said many of them felt trapped because the vouchers for their housing were attached to their apartments, not themselves. But these families got out. They got Section 8 housing vouchers. And that's where the suit claims HUD went wrong. Tenants were put on an unreasonable timeline, according to the complaint. And they weren't counseled about their options, which could have included moving to a higher opportunity neighborhood. But that's not what happened. The suit says the tenants stayed in high poverty, low income areas. Data from the suit shows those areas are also majority non-white. And that, the suit claims, amounts to a perpetuation of segregation and a violation of their rights under the Fair Housing Act. HUD declined a request for comment because of the pending litigation. Dan Suleiman is a partner at one of the firms bringing the suit.
Number one, they have a duty to counteract segregation. And number two, they need to not perpetuate segregation.
And from Suleiman's perspective, the implications of the suit could mean changes for housing authorities across the country. For the New England News Collaborative, I'm Ali Oshinsky.
For the latest news from Long Island and Connecticut, you can listen on the radio or online at WSHU.org. Here at WSHU, we think local news is important, and we're glad that you think it's important, too. Thank you for your support. Thank you for sharing this podcast with your friends. I'm Charles Lane. We'll be back on Monday.